Hallelujah. Good morning, church. So, I've titled a lesson today, Wisdom and Power Are His. So, there's verses all over the Proverbs that talk about wisdom and how we're to seek it as treasure. It's like the best thing we can ever ask for. And in James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. So we can ask for wisdom anytime we need it. And he is faithful to give it. In Sunday school, we've been going over the fruits of the Spirit, and we talked about faithfulness this morning. We talked about what it means to be reliable, to be dependable, and God is that. He's faithful to us in all that we do, and everything that we ask for. We're going to be in Daniel today for most of the morning. But I want to pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you, Lord, that all we have to do is ask. That you have promised us wisdom, Lord, and that we get our power from you as well. It says wisdom and power are yours. And Daniel, and Father, we thank you that you loved us that much, that we can depend on you, that you are trustworthy, dependable, reliable. We don't even have to wonder about it. We know, Father, that you keep your word. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that I can depend on you every time that I need to make a decision wisely. So, Father, as we go into your word today, just teach us to rely on you, Lord, that we can count on you, that we don't have to wonder at all, but, Lord, that you'll have your way. And we just, again, this morning, Lord, I lift up the meetings tonight, Lord, the worship time, and, Lord, just have your way in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I need to get this thing behind me some way. It's bothering me. There we go. It was that simple, huh? I have to learn how to put it on. I've had a different one, and this one's becoming, I'm becoming accustomed to it. I'll just put it that way. So let's go to Daniel. So if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it's a choice that we make that will teach us to be wise, because fearing the Lord, his sovereignty, he's just the only God. He's sovereign. And so that is basically what the fear of the Lord is his sovereignty, his learning that he is God and that there's no other God besides him. Daniel chapter 2. I'm in 1 Kings, and I better find Daniel, I guess. I've got it marked. Here we go. I knew I had a marker in it. Daniel chapter 2. So verse 1 of Daniel, you all know the story of Daniel, how he was taken in, him and his buds were taken into bondage by King Nebuchadnezzar, taken to Babylon, and they were in chapter 1 of Daniel. They're, just to sum it up a little bit, they were supposed to eat the king's food and be trained for 3 years by the king's servants so that they could go into service for the king, for King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel and his friends decided that they were that they didn't want to eat the king's food. They wanted to eat their vegetables and drink water. And so they asked the guys that were over them to test them, see if it wasn't better. And so they did a test. I don't remember how long it was, but they then went before him and to see how they looked. And verse 17 says, "To these four young men God gave knowledge and understanding and all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds." So because he trusted in the Lord, because he walked with God, he had a relationship with the Father, he was able to understand dreams and to interpret them. And that's the knowledge that he needed for chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar then has a dream in chapter 2. And we're going to see what develops here as he has his dream. "In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, 'I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means.' And the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, 'And, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it.' The king replied to the astrologers, 'This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me.'" So they were basically saying to the king, "What you're asking us to do is impossible. This can't be done. We don't know what you dreamed. So how can we interpret it for you?" Said, "Just tell us what you dreamed and we'll interpret it for you." And he said, "I've already made this decision. If you can't tell me the dream, I'm going to cut you up. And tear your houses into rubble. You're going to just be lost." So in verse 8 it says, "Then the king answered, 'I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me.'" And so that is answered again, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." So this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. And when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch said, or then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time, he said, so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision, and then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, so because of Daniel's wisdom, he was wise enough to ask the king for time. He was wise enough to ask his friends to pray for him so that he could receive a message from God concerning this dream that the king had. And because they were faithful to pray, that very night, God showed him a vision of what the king's dream was. And so Daniel began to praise the Lord. He was just excited that God had given him this vision. So he said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His." So that's where I got the title for today's message. Wisdom and power are His. He gives them to us as needed. Sometimes we need wisdom for a decision that we're making. I have learned to take every important decision that I make to the Lord, because without His intervention, I have made some silly mistakes in my life that I could have avoided had I first sought the Lord. I've learned to trust Him in the years that I've failed some things, and in those failures, I've learned to trust God. I've learned to seek His face when I have an important decision to make. Even if I have a small decision to make, I still go to the Lord, because I've learned that that's the best way to avoid problems, and He brings me the wisdom and the power that I need. He changes times and seasons, Daniel said. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power, and You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." So Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man or enchanter, magician or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." He said, "I can't do it, but my God can." Hallelujah. How many times have we had to say that? I can't do it, but God can. He gives us the power and the wisdom when we need it. And He gave Daniel the ability to tell the king his dream. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. And then he goes on to tell him what exactly that dream was, and what's going to happen. It's part of the plan that God has for King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not going to go into all that. I just wanted to show you how easy it is to ask God for wisdom and power, and that Daniel knew who his source was. He knew that he could go to God. He trusted God as a young man. So as you all know, these guys were youth. They were just young men, probably just out of high school age, I would say, and beginning in a time of learning to be servants. And so that's why the king took them, because they were young and he was going to make them servants in his kingdom. But God had another plan. And I just want to finish up in the last part of chapter 2, beginning at verse 45. It says that this is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel, paid him honor, and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position, lavished many gifts on him, made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon, and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. So God put all four of these young Israelites in high places because of their wisdom, because they sought his face and had a relationship with the Father. I also want to look today at Solomon. As you know, Solomon is the wisest king that ever lived. The Proverbs were written by Solomon, and as I said at the beginning, there's just verse after verse in the Proverbs that talk about wisdom and how we should seek for it. But let's go to 1 Kings first. We'll get that done first and look at some of the Proverbs. 1 Kings chapter 3 is where Solomon asks God for wisdom. So you all know that Solomon was David's son. And there was basically a fight between David's sons to see who was going to be king after him. And finally, David made the choice that God wanted and said, "Solomon, my son, will be king after me." And so as he has been anointed king, let's begin in verse 5 of chapter 3, 1 Kings. So at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Imagine how we could be as selfish as we could get anything we wanted if God said that to us. "I'll give you anything you want. Ask whatever you want." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child. I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, or asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And then he gave a feast for all of his court. If you go on and read the rest of chapter 3 there, it's some of the wise decisions that Solomon made are labeled there. And it's pretty neat to just go through the life of Solomon and see all of the wise things he did, the way that God prospered him, because he asked for wisdom, because he asked for a discerning heart. If any of you lacks wisdom, James 1:5, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to him. So God gives us wisdom if we ask for it. let's go to Proverbs now, just to spend a couple minutes there in Proverbs as we finish up. I marked it with something, but I can't find what I marked it with. We're getting closer now. I've actually got a lot of markers in Proverbs, so I wasn't sure which one to grab. So, 3 verses 13 to 15 say, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her." So wisdom is more precious, more important than anything we could invest in today. You see on the TV all the time, there's ads come through to invest in silver and gold. And these verses tell us that getting wisdom is more precious than any silver or gold or rubies or emeralds that we could get. It says, "Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." So we've got a lot of promises there if we gain wisdom. And then over in chapter 4, my chapter in the NIV is titled "Wisdom is Supreme." And so I want to read a few verses out of chapter 4 here as well. Beginning at verse 1, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding." And that took me a while to realize how smart my father was. I thought when I was a teenager that I was smarter than he was. I don't know if any of you had that problem, but I went through that time. And when I started having children of my own was when I realized how wise my father's instruction was. because then I knew what he had gone through with me, and I hoped that my children didn't grow up to be little terrors like I was. but there's a reason that we have parents, and it's to learn from them. And so this is telling us how important it is to listen to our father's instructions and pay attention. It says, "I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, 'Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you.'" So there's just a lot of benefits to gaining wisdom. Verse 8 says, "Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in a way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. guard it well, for it is your life. And then I want to go on down to 20 and read through 23. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So, guard your hearts as children of God. When you need wisdom, ask for it, and He'll give it. I'm not sure why I don't ask for it every day. It seems like we need a little wisdom every day. So maybe it would be smart when we get up in the mornings to ask God for wisdom for the day. I always pray, help me, Holy Spirit, in the mornings, because I know I need His help through the day. And that probably comes from wisdom. I thank the Lord for the life that He's given us, given me. And I thank the Lord for a godly family, because I had parents with wisdom. Then we gained that wisdom as we grew and matured. And I'm seeing that in my son's family and his family, his children's families and our daughter's family. And it's just awesome to see God's wisdom flow as we teach each generation to walk in His ways. So as you go this week, just remember that you can gain wisdom just by asking, and power when you need it, because wisdom and power are His. They belong to the Father. And He wants us to have them because they're so precious. So we're going to have a final song as the musicians come and sing the final song. If any of you have prayer needs this morning, Jesse and I will be here to pray with you. Remember to gather together at the school this evening for worship. It's going to be a great time of fellowship and worship with the community. So remember that for this evening.